Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter. Now, we kind of winding up some things on prayer. And last week we talked about praying by the unction or the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, at the end of the armor, listing the armor, it says, and pray in the Spirit, with all different kinds of prayer, praying in the Spirit. We see what Paul had to say about that, that it's prayer that is empowered, energized, and motivated by the Holy Spirit. And God invites us, he says, let your requests be made known unto God. So God wants to know about the things that are going on in your life. So he wants you to verbalize those to him. But praying by the Spirit is also allowing God, not just your prayer requests, but his prayer requests, to pick up on this in the Spirit what God wants to do, and he prays his will through your life. And one of the things we saw that he does that through the wonderful avenue for believers called tongues. All right? That is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence, and that through that, that we are able to pray divine secrets, mysteries. Romans 8 says, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, the Spirit himself will make intercession for you according to the very perfect will of God. And so there's this great, great benefit that we have. So today we want to look at that subject and really the kind of the doorway, I believe, to a supernatural life that God wants to have for you. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving that wonderful gift that God has for your life. Now, I want to look at it from a biblical perspective. And you see, I love and I just appreciate my charismatic Pentecostal heritage. I remember going to a healing meeting when I was 8 years old and seeing someone come out of a wheelchair healed by the very power of God. And I appreciate that is my heritage. Now, we have our problems like every other group, but I thank God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit that he does things in and through our life. Now, one of the things as charismatics, Pentecostals, we must always be aware of and be careful of is that we don't allow experience to trump or to supersede the Word of God. No, the Word of God should be the basis for our experience. It should be the foundation for our experience. And the experiences that we have in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, they should all be founded and rooted in Scripture. I remember a pastor saying that he was talking to this lady and she was doing some kind of very funny and you could say extra-biblical weird activities. And he was trying to instruct her by the Bible that these things weren't right. And she finally said, well, Bible or no Bible, that's what I'm going to do. Well, how many of you know that's never a good conclusion to make? Bible or no Bible? No, it should be all in the Bible. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. And here is Jesus sharing this with his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, in John chapter 20, Jesus had a similar time with his disciples. And in John 20, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, many believe, and I would, that that was their conversion experience. That was when they received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You understand that you don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, a good example of this is when you look in the Bible, you'll see the Holy Spirit referred to in different ways. Pastor Ken, could I get a bottle of Munzee there? The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit being in you. Remember Jesus said, and he will be in you. All right, he'll be with you and he'll be in you. So here we have water. Actually, Jonathan, why don't you just stay right there? All right. So here we've got water that's in a glass. All right. How many of you are a little bit thirsty? All right. Sorry, we're going to just get to watch him drink water. Okay. So when he drinks water, where does it go? It goes in him. Now, it's the same water, right? So this water and what that does to him, it replenishes his cells. It does all these things that doctors tell us. Drink water. It's good for you. But let me ask you, Jonathan, have you in the last 3 days, have you had an experience with water other than it going in you? Have you had it going on you? Bathing. Amen. Amen. All right. Ladies, you can get his cell number right after the service. Problem is his mother's right there. All right. But so you can have water that goes in you and it has a certain function. But the same water, not a different water, will go on him. All right. It will go, and it, the same water will do something else. Thank you so much. The Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, tongues or no tongues, comes to indwell every believer. The presence of the Holy Spirit. And that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is primarily for you. He will be your teacher. He will be your guide. He will be your helper. All the wonderful things that the Bible says He is. The Bible also says there is another function of the Holy Spirit, another work of the Holy Spirit. As much as He is in you, He wants to be on you. All right? Brother, if you could just come right here. One of the things the Bible in the Old Testament, it refers to the anointing as a mantle. All right? You remember Elijah and Elisha. And so the mantle was something that would come upon people. All right? You need to eat a little bit more, buddy. Just wait till you get married. You'll gain 30 pounds. All right. So that anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you. Thank you so much. And throughout, you know what? That feels so good that I am not going to put that back on. All right. And you see throughout the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit would come upon. David would minister to the Lord. He would sing unto the Lord and the Spirit would come upon him. Saul would prophesy as the Spirit came up on him, all right? Even Samson, with his compromise and his women problems, all right? He would pick up the jawbone of a donkey, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he slew 2,000 Philistines in one day, all right? So people were equipped for service as the Spirit came upon them. So the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. Now, you will see that throughout the New Testament, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit upon, all right? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8, "But you shall receive the power, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, last week we saw in Paul's writings the wonderful benefits that are there of speaking in other tongues. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. It is one of the wonderful benefits, one of the side effects. And what we see from the New Testament is when believers receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this was the initial evidence, all right? And so people sometimes will argue today, well, does it have to be the initial evidence? Well, it was in the New Testament. In every instance, we see that. And so we might as well experience what God has for us, all right? 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." So it's not for human necessarily participation or benefit, "for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Verse 5, "I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied." So, we see that this wonderful benefit, Paul talked about it to the church in Corinth. In fact, the church at Ephesus was a Spirit-filled church. The church of Galatia, God poured out His Spirit on that. So when we talk today, traditional churches, Pentecostal, charismatic, different mainline, different churches, the churches of the New Testament were charismatic Pentecostal churches. All of them were. They received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, well, if that was for the early church, maybe it's not for today. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever watched shows. My wife and Timothy like to watch medical shows. I always have to turn away when there's blood. And but you know, when somebody has died on the operating table, they get those paddles, right? And they say, clear. And they go, pachoom, in the body. And sometimes they get them back, sometimes they don't. And I believe theologically, that's what some people would have us to believe, that God kind of gave the early church a jolt of the power of the Holy Spirit. Chukum, tongues and miracles and all those wonderful things. And once we're alive, then he withdrew them. Now, not to be ugly and not to be critical in any way, but I do not see anywhere in the New Testament that would suggest that. All right, let's look at one verse that sometimes people will bring up in 1 Corinthians 13. And they say, no, Pastor, tongues have ceased. All right, let's look at that verse sometimes people will refer to. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is making a great example that he says that walking in love, the divine love of God, is more important than speaking in tongues. I would certainly agree. All right, and it says here about love, it says in verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So they say, see, tongues have been done away with. It says right here that tongues will cease. All right, well, if that's the case, if that verse is your proof text that tongues have ceased, then every single one of us need to stop going to school, stop reading books, stop educating ourselves or making any attempt to increase our knowledge, because the very next part of that verse says, whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So if that verse is talking about that tongues is done away with now, then that means all of us should do our very best to become fools and to empty our brain of all acquired knowledge and to kind of live intellectually as an amoeba, just kind of... No. It's talking about heaven. It's talking about another day where faith becomes sight, where that which is, where Paul says, you know, now we see through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. In heaven, we won't need to speak in tongues. In heaven, we won't need to go to school. We won't need to acquire knowledge. But here on this earth, how many of you need knowledge? Well, guess what? We need prophecies. We need tongues here in this earth. All right? So, Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. He will come upon you and he will help your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. P.C. Nelson, other Bible historians, people that know the Greek language better than I know, that the Greek there is talking about language that is inarticulate, all right? That we cannot articulate, but the Holy Spirit articulates, all right? How does he do that? He does it through our life. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Speaking in other tongues, this divine prayer language, you are praying for your life according to the very perfect will of God. Oh, what a benefit. What a blessing. What an incredible gift to the body of Christ that God has given us. Now, is this for everyone? Okay. In 1 Corinthians 14, one of the things that is important in understanding that passage is Paul's primary reason for writing about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 14 is because there was misuse of the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and interpretation of tongues in public services. So there was just kind of mayhem and craziness. And so he was giving them guidelines about the public use or the public ministry of other tongues. Right now in church, you're understanding me, all right? If you didn't, you'd go to a church that you could understand the person. If you only understood French, you'd go to the French church or the Portuguese church, or the Italian church. So we are communicating through a language that we understand. So in Corinth, evidently there were people that were just kind of talking in tongues for just a long, and it wasn't benefiting anything. And so he was making a point to saying, you know what, in church, it's better that we prophesy. It's better that we have inspired utterance that will build up and help people. And then he goes on to say, he says, look, are all pastors, are all apostles, do all have the working of miracles, do all speak in tongues? And the answer, the implied answer in that passage was no. But he was referring to the public use of tongues, all right? Because right in the beginning of that chapter, he made it clear. He said, I would that you all spoke in tongues. All right, let's look at another passage where we'll see that this is for you. It is for every believer. In Acts chapter 2, so the early disciples, they heeded the words of Jesus. They waited in Jerusalem, all right? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, so God had a timetable. He wanted this to take place on the day of Pentecost. All right, and you'll see that many of the events of the life of Jesus, of death, his burial, his resurrection, they happened around the Jewish calendar. Not because God was trying to make the Jewish calendar work, is because the Jewish calendar all pointed to Calvary. It all pointed to Jesus Christ. It was a setup. It was a signpost, all right, to help the God's chosen people recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So, day of Pentecost fully come, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Now, people began to hear what was going on, and it was new to them, and so they began to draw their own conclusions. Some people would tell us today, oh, those people that speak in tongues, they do it by demon spirits. It's demonic. Well, I don't see that in the Bible. Or they say, oh, that's just emotionalism. They're just making up those words. All right, well, I don't see this from the Bible. We see this as a very biblical experience. You see, the Bible is not just like Aesop's fables where, you know, a little boy brought his lunch and there was a crowd of 5,000 and people would have us to believe, well, no, it really wasn't a miracle. When they saw that the boy brought his lunch, then everybody else began to share their lunches and it was like as if it was multiplied. No, it was multiplied. Miracles are real. There was a lady named the Virgin Mary who was a virgin who never knew a man, and she gave birth to a son that was not from human conception. It was a miracle, friends. Our Bible is full of miracles. Our God is a God of miracles, and he has not lost his miracle working power today. If he was, he is, and he will be. Amen. And so God introduced the power of the Holy Spirit to the early church, and we can walk in the fullness of that in our day and age today. So people began to hear that what was going on, and what happened was they heard these people speaking in other tongues, and it was a language that they knew. All right, they didn't, the people who were speaking didn't know it, but they knew it. All right, I've got a friend of mine, and his grandfather was a pioneer in the Assemblies of God in South Africa. Many, many decades ago. And he would go, and his ministry was among the mine workers in the gold mines around the reef of Johannesburg. And he would go and he would minister. He was from Canada. And he would go, and there were times where God would lead him, and there would be prayer meetings, and he would begin to speak in other tongues. Well, later he found out that what they heard was Zulu. What they heard was Setswana. The only problem is he didn't know Zulu. He didn't know Setswana. What was happening? It was a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. All right. It was God doing the same thing that he did in the Bible. He was doing then. So they began to hear people magnifying God in their own language. So in verse 12, they begin to make conclusions. All right. They were amazed and perplexed. Whatever could this mean? Verse 13, others mocked. And it's sad today that still people mock the move of God. They mock that when God's Spirit is doing things in reality, they make fun of it. All right? Others mocked, said, these people are drunk. They're full of new wine. All right? They're just drunk. So Peter had heard these words, and he begins to respond in verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk. Now, evidently, they looked a little drunk, right? There was some behavior that they thought, wow, these people must be intoxicated. Well, no, it's a different wine. All right, it's God's new wine. It is being filled from above. Now, see, here's the thing. Wine, alcohol, is something that comes from the outside, and it changes you. Can anyone say amen? All right, you've heard. Right? It changes you. In fact, liquor that is very strong, what do they call it? Spirits. Spirits, all right, with a small s. Thank God for our Spirit. Singular, with a capital S. The Holy Spirit, who will influence you, who will change you, who will make you into a different person. And guess what? He's free, all right? And you don't have to stop at one or two or three shots, all right? He will influence you, and he doesn't give you a headache in the next morning. He doesn't make you vomit your lunch. Amen. What does the Bible say? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled or influenced by the Spirit of God. So they were filled with the Spirit of God. Then he said, all right, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. Look at verse 16. Acts 2, verse 16. He said, you know what? They're not drunk. They're not acting crazy. This is that. Which was spoken by the prophet Joel. All right, so he knows that his audience are Jews. So he uses their own language. He uses their own book. He uses their own writings to prove to them, guys, this is not weird. This is normal. This is one of our prophets foretold that this day would come. What did he say? This is from Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Tell your neighbor and say, you look like flesh to me. We've all got flesh, right? There's no disembodied spirit that's come to church today, right? We're all living in a human body. Now, one of the reasons why this is kind of cool is because when Joel said there will be a day in the last days where God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Because in that day, when Joel was speaking, the Spirit was not poured out on all flesh. It was select flesh. The prophet, the priest, the king primarily. Those that God had appointed for special works of service. The Holy Spirit would come upon their life. But if you were just normal, everyday, average Jewish believer person, the Holy Spirit didn't come upon you. But guess what? See, what the Holy Spirit was reserved for special people in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament, everybody's special. Tell your neighbor, you are special. All right, see, all flesh will have the Spirit poured out. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And then he begins to describe what that looks like. Who's all flesh? Well, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I believe it would be biblically accurate if your young men are going to see visions and your old men are going to dream dreams, then that means God is blessing people in between, old and young. That's the wonderful thing. You're either old or young or you're in between. Tomorrow I'll be 42. I think that's in between. All right? But what it means is that God wants to pour out his Spirit on your life regardless of the age. You're not too young. You're not too old for God to use you and for the Spirit of God to be upon your life. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. All flesh. everyone, not a select few, not just the ones that God has chosen. What did Paul say? I would that you all speak in other tongues. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts, all right, what did we see? Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says they all spoke with other tongues. Not 50%, not 25%, they all spoke in other tongues. Let's look at a couple of other examples here. Let's go to Acts 19, talking about the church in Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, who did he find? Heathens? No, he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So, I mean, they're saying, this is all new to us. We don't even know what you're talking about. All right? He said, "Into what baptism were you baptized?" "Into John's baptism," they said. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." So these people had believed in Jesus. All right? When they heard this, they were baptized, all right, that is water baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Upon them. What happened? They all spoke with tongues. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Okay? So everybody received. Turn over to Acts chapter 10. All right? So this is among the believers in Ephesus. So this was kind of an interesting order. They were born again. They were baptized in water. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues. Here in Acts chapter 10, there's another order. All right? It happened in a different way. It happened all on the same day. There was a man named Cornelius who had been giving alms, and he had been seeking God, and he was a Gentile. And so God got Peter ready by giving him a vision, all right, and then orchestrated for Peter to meet Cornelius, and Cornelius had got a bunch of his friends together. His friends were Gentiles. They were not believers yet, all right? They were not even Jews, all right? And so Peter is amazed. He said, "Wow, this is really interesting that I've never done this before. I've never been among a group of people other than Jews," all right? How many of you know God likes to mix it up? Amen? At the throne of heaven, every tribe, every nation, hallelujah, amen. God loves everybody. So if heaven is going to be like that, then we better get used to it here on earth. Let me say this. God is against segregation. He doesn't like it. So if he doesn't like it, and we have as children, what are we going to do? We're going to be like him. All right? So God likes us to live and to be and to mingle with people who are different from ourselves. Tell your neighbor, you're not that different. Amen. Amen. So anyway, Peter got a shock, but it's not that shocked. It's not that different to God. So here while Peter is preaching the gospel to these Gentiles, all right, in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all. Everybody say all. On all those who heard the word. Faith comes by hearing. So there was enough of the gospel for them to hear. They believed, and God touched their lives. So the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. They were surprised. Now, if they would have read Joel, they wouldn't have been surprised. Because God says, I will pour out my Spirit on our Gentiles all flesh. Yes. All right. So it's kind of funny sometimes in the Bible when people get surprised, and they shouldn't be surprised. People are astonished when, if they would have been reading their Bible, they wouldn't have been astonished. So they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Notice the Holy Spirit is referred to as a gift. A gift. How do you receive a gift? Do you earn a gift? Now, last week I got paid. Got my pay slip. It wasn't a gift, all right? I earned it. At least I hope I did. You know, I actually believe there's some employees, if you were honest, you'd give back half of your pay to your employer at the end of the month because you didn't earn it. Does anybody work at a place like that? People goof around half the day and yet they receive a full pay slip. Oh, here we go again. Third service, all right. Last week it was Big Brother, all right. Amen. If they're going to give you full pay, then you should give them a full day's wages. Not goofing around. Hey, not talking to your sister in Australia on the company phone. Hello. Does anyone, are we talking about planet Mars here, okay? Anyway, so the gift of the Holy Spirit, wages you earn, a gift is a gift. I didn't deserve a cake, but I got a cake, all right? I looked in that little basket, there's some golf shoes in there. It's a sign from God. Walker, play more golf. All right? I hear, Lord, and I will obey. All right? You don't earn a gift, but you do have to receive a gift. If you wanted to give me your Bible, how would it happen? He would offer it, and then I would receive it. And if I was raised right, I would say, thank you. All right? But I have to receive a gift. Now, if I receive a gift, to honor the gift giver, I'm going to use it. It's not very nice to receive a gift and then for it to collect dust in your cupboard. Or just to, so I got a cake today and it sits at my house and it gets moldy and in 10 days I throw it away. That's not honoring the gift giver. Use the gift. Let it be a blessing in your life. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn a gift. You can receive a gift. All right? So, the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, they hadn't been very good yet. They hadn't gone to church. It hadn't been 5 years of proving themselves in Christian service, and then God gave them the Holy Spirit. No, it happened on the same day they believed. Were they good enough? No, He was good enough. Friend, if you are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are qualified through Jesus, not through your works. All right? There are not enough hoops to jump through. We do not see that as a New Testament standard, as a qualification of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if God didn't make that a pre-qualification, then we as the church should not either. Amen? All right? So there were Gentiles, didn't know God, yet in 1 second they're saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're speaking in other tongues. So how do we receive a gift? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. All you have to do is ask. Luke 11 verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or, if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? To those who ask Him. So, if you are in Christ, if God is your Father, you simply need to ask. You need to ask for this wonderful gift that will bring power into your life, that will make you a blessing to your world, and will give you this great privilege of speaking in other tongues. God is not going to force this gift down your throat, but He is asking you, ask. It's for you. God poured out His Spirit for all flesh. And you know what? I just think in life, whatever God has, I want it. And if it comes in single portions or double portions, make mine a double. I want everything that God has for me. And friend, I want you to have everything that God has for you. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, is He in you? Yes, is the Holy Spirit. But you know what? There's another dimension to Him that He wants to anoint your life for service. The gifts of the Spirit to be poured out in your life, to be a blessing. And this wonderful benefit of speaking in other tongues. All you have to do is ask. You say, Pastor, well, do I have to wait? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, once they waited on that first time, when the day of Pentecost came, nowhere else in the book of Acts do we see anyone waiting. They received right then. All right? They did not have to wait. All right? God wanted to do it on the day of Pentecost, and now we live in the day of Pentecost. Pentecost has come, and we live in that outpouring. And so as they believed, they received, and they walked in the fullness of the Spirit of God. So right now today, God is inviting anyone who would want to ask. All right? Anyone who would say, you know what, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, God is my Father, but I've not received this New Testament experience, but I'd like to. I believe this is for me. I see from the Word of God, God wants me to have this, but I realize today I need to ask, and I want to ask Him right now. We want to help you. Now, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. I don't own the Holy Spirit. He comes from heaven. He comes from God. He's here on the earth. But I would love to be able to pray with you, all right? And we're going to see God do just a marvelous, marvelous work in your life. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. But I want to ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm ready to receive. If that's you, raise up your hand. You say, you know what? I'm so glad, Pastor, you preached on this. Yes? Who else? So you know what? I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to go with power. You need to go with what this wonderful gift that God has for your life. All right? You lifted up your hand. We want to pray with you up front. All right? So grab your Bible. Grab your handbag, whatever you brought with you, and just come. And Pastor Ken and I, we're going to pray with you. God is going to do a marvelous, marvelous work in your life today. Just come and join us up front. Just come and join us. Wonderful. Awesome. All right. Just come up. Just so that we can pray. You just guys, just come and form a line here. Ushers, if you could help us. Thank you so much. Congregation, let's just remain in an attitude of prayer. You say, well, Pastor, I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, two things. Number one, let's believe with these. Let's believe with those that have come. Secondly, I trust you've written some of these scriptures down because this is something that God wants to use you to help other believers walk into the fullness of His Spirit. And God will help you instruct and pray for those and to help people walk in the fullness. You guys just come around this side. Just come around here. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Great, great, great. All right. Well, we're going to pray according to that passage in Luke. All right. One of the things we saw in prayer was when we ask according to God's will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the petitions. All right. So we're going to simply pray along with this passage in Luke chapter 11. That is, if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask. All right? Now, let me just give you some instruction. Because as you ask, Pastor Ken and I, we want to lay our hands on you. Again, just we see this as something that happened in the New Testament. But you don't have to wait for us to lay hands on you. All right? You just go ahead and receive. But here's what in Acts chapter 2:4, when we read that. It says, they all began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them the words, but they began to speak. They initiated it. All right? Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the understanding. God doesn't make you pray. All right? And God is not going to make you speak in tongues. But you will begin as the Spirit gave you utterance today. Now, a great example is just do this with me. Everybody who's come up, congregation, say the word watermelon. Say it again. All right. Now, who moved your tongue and moved your lips? You did. All right. I did not physically make you say those words. Now, who gave you the word to say? I did. Did it come from your mind? No. It came from my mind. All right. I gave you the word. You said the word. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit will do. He's going to come upon you, and there's going to be a language that you don't know. It might just be one or two words. It might be soft. It might be loud. But just go ahead and articulate the words that the Holy Spirit will give you. All right? Now, don't think it's going to be like your auntie or Pastor Walker. You just let God do it His way. It may be dramatic. It may be very undramatic. All right? You may cry. You may not cry. You may fall. You may not fall. It really doesn't matter. All right? Just let God touch you and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, are you ready? All right. This is just normal New Testament life for every believer. All right. Congregation, please join us. I'd ask you, just those of you that have come forward, just lift up your hands towards heaven. If you've got a Bible, you can just put it at your feet there. But just lift up your hands towards heaven. All right. We're going to receive a gift. A gift. You cannot earn it, but it is a gift that God wants to give you. All right, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, You are the giver of all good gifts. And I thank You now. I have come to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I cannot earn this gift, but I have come to receive this gift. You said in Your word that You would give the Holy Spirit to all those who ask You. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, and according to Luke 11, I ask You for the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. When hands are laid upon me, the Holy Spirit comes upon my life. He gives me the power to be Your witness, and I will speak in tongues as You give me the words. Amen. Now just keep your eyes closed right now. Just keep your hands lifted towards God. I would encourage you right now, don't speak in a language that you know. Don't say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't say, thank you, Jesus. All right, you just put your heart in an attitude to receive. Pastor Ken and I are going to lay hands on you. But you know what? If you receive before we get there, you just go ahead and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Congregation, just stretch out your hands right now. Oh, just lift up your voice right now. Just believe with us. Oh, for the wonderful gift that God has for these believers. Oh, the wonderful gift that God has for these believers. In Jesus' name, receive.